The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is Monday, the 18th day of October 2021. Great to have you here observing the passing at age 84 of General Colin Powell, former Secretary of State, former so many things, former Republican being one thing that we're observing. And Mike had, I think, some really good points. Let me give you the phone number. We're about to head to your phone calls here in a moment on a wide variety of things. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. I think the way you walk the line here is Colin Powell in his, you know, final home stretch of years drove me crazy. Just the Obama fanboy mantle that he put on, the Trump hatred. And by the way, if somebody just turns liberal, whatever, okay, it happens. People turn conservative. I try to work on that every day. But when you are someone who really does value the armed forces, when you are someone who really does value the concept of a strong America, when you are someone who really does know the importance, this is Colin Powell, Gulf War I. I mean, come on, man. that when that is in your head and in your heart, how you allow that head and that heart to be eaten up by Trump hatred, it's just a mystery to me. And the only reason I spend a lot of time talking about that, and, you know, not a lot of time, but in, you know, the last 10, 15, last decade or so, and not just Trump hatred, but people who've found odd ways to subjugate their core values to sort of personal things and irrelevant things, especially in the era of Trump. I think it's just a valuable lesson. Like, don't let this happen to you. You know, I mean, if Colin Powell just stopped caring about a strong America, that would be one thing. If Colin Powell just stopped, you know, caring about taking care of the American military, that would be one thing. But he never did. Hated Trump's guts anyway. Became a big Obama guy anyway. Now, I think it's possible. Now, am I going to take those things and use that to savage, you know, his whole lifetime? Not at all. That's why I spent so much time in the first hour talking about his incredible heart for service and the amazing acumen that he brought to the path, the trail that he blazed, and the importance of being our first African-American Secretary of State, and all the things that he did that were historic, and all the things that he did were so very, very great, and so that showed such a deep devotion to the American cause. So God bless him, and may God rest his soul and be with his family and loved ones. welcome to Facebook 2021. General Powell had a Facebook page, and still does, and his family posted something, and Facebook flagged it. I mean, they didn't shut it down for COVID misinformation. But I think maybe if you just mention COVID at all in a way that the Facebook bots don't approve of, you get a little, it's a little reminder that says, hey, visit the COVID-19 Information Center for vaccine resources or something if they spot you as an anti-vaxxer or something like that. And my whole point about Facebook is, you know how I feel about, you know, all of that nonsense, but I don't want anybody silenced. I don't want anybody kicked off of social media. I don't want anybody. I want a vigorous and spirited and you know, filled with goodwill exchange of information and exchange of opinions, you know, on radio and in social media and everywhere. Anyway, General Powell's family writes, and this is just like a couple hours ago, General Colin L. Powell, former U.S. Secretary of State and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, passed away this morning due to complications from COVID-19. He was fully vaccinated. We want to thank the medical staff at Walter Reed National Medical Center for their caring treatment. We have lost a remarkable and loving husband, father, grandfather, and a great American. And it's signed the Powell family. That's beautiful, right? Facebook, boom, visit the COVID-19 Information Center for vaccine resources. But excuse me, what? Can't you leave these people alone in their grief? What? And I guess that the offending sentence is they dared to identify that General Powell had died despite being fully vaccinated. Is this where we are? I mean, you know where I am on all of this. I'm glad to be vaccinated. I think you should be too, unless you have a valid medical reason not to or a valid religious objection. But I'm never going to have government make you do anything. I'm totally against government mandates. Private companies can do what they want. But on this, let's just slice and dice this and then go to your calls. 866-660-5759. If you are vaccinated, can you still get COVID? Yes, you can. It's far less likely, which is what makes the vaccine a wise thing. But is it perfect? No. Is any vaccine ever perfect? No. So, if you are vaccinated, can you still get it? Yes, you can. Once you have it, what are the factors that lead to how you do with it? Well, age, weight, overall health. So if you are 84 and maybe have some other health things going on, and you then become a breakthrough case, definition of which is you're vaccinated but get it anyway, well, it can still have its way with you. You can still feel the ravages of COVID if you are vaccinated or a breakthrough case and you're 84 and have some other health issues. It can still kill you. Again, your chance of getting it is far less. If you have it and you get it, your chance of being very sick are less. But less doesn't mean zero. Less doesn't mean... So I guess I would call for two things. And that is for the pro-vaccine people to not be... You know, to not shy away or freak out from the fact that Colin Powell was fully vaccinated, got it, and died. That's going to happen. And my request for the anti-vaccine people is don't try to use Colin Powell as some kind of poster boy for the points you've been trying to make, like, oh, there you go. It's useless. Just everybody stop. Life is hard enough. All right, 866-660-5759. We're in Fort Worth. Chuck, welcome. Thank you for hanging on. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, sir.
Hey.
I love hearing when you talk about, you know, like the music at the beginning of the session. You say, well, that band was, you know, 1956, you know, and they were, you know, living in a garage and having coffee in the morning. You just go into the details so wonderful, and it's like a refreshing breeze to my spirit. So I was thinking, you know, I'd love to hear a Mark Davis Cultural Hour. Mark Davis Culture Hour, where you talk about everything, whether it's iconic people from the past like Bob Hope, John Wayne. I'm sure some of the audience still remembers those names.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't really know. I'm your age, grew up in the military, Air Force, same kind of track.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the iconic individuals, or I'm not familiar with. And when I talk iconic, I mean the people who people will still remember fondly when they're in their 50s and 60s.
Yep.
So the Mark Davis Culture Hour.
Bless your heart.
And you just cast a wide net. Books. You know, I was thinking just this morning, Dr. Zhivago would be a great movie to revisit.
How cool.
To see how that transitioned during the Bolshevik Revolution and the attitude, because it's here. You know, we see it. It's obvious. Plus, the soundtrack's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you know, and you could have a session on, you know, top 10 greatest soundtracks of all time. For me, is The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Yep.
You know, I guess if I were to pick one, automatically, yeah. You know, so my point is, whether it's every month, once a week, every quarter, just kind of invite people, who kind of helps bring us into a cultural context, crossing generations, so that people can. That's the nice thing about YouTube is, like, you know, you might mention, hey there, Georgie girl, mm-hmm. And like, well, who's that? You know, who sung that? And because I'm having a block right now, who was the band that sang that?
Oh, okay. There were a couple of covers. The Seekers were the first in
the
Seekers, 1967.
Yes. The
uh-huh.
Seekers. Mm-hmm. All right. So right now, you know, you've with
see?
Credibility, now people might all say, right. Well, I never heard of the Seekers. Weren't they the number two band in the world when the Beatles came out?
Like, here
it was the Beatles.
This is so cool, and I appreciate it so much. Let me give you 60 seconds of navel-gazing introspection about the show and things of this nature, and see what you think about it. Every once in a while, obviously, I do this anyway, and it tends to happen kind of organically. Or maybe every once in a while we'll sit there and have an interview with a Crystal Gayle or a Gary Puckett, as we've done in the last couple of weeks, and those will be those occasions to do that. You're talking about a more of a kind of an intentional take an hour and just do that and do music and movies and songs and plays and books. And there's a part of me that digs that, and I think every once in a while I will do things like that with an author or with an occasion, or I'll go off on a rant. And sometimes if I go off on a type of rant, or that it'll be about something, about some show or some movie, it will spark 2 or 6 or 7 calls, and then it'll kind of unfold organically in a sort of a stream of consciousness. I hope that's close enough to what you're talking about to be satisfying, because I tell you what would happen. If I said, let's say we're going to do it first Thursday of the month at 9 o'clock, invariably at 8:45, Biden would do something, or AOC would do something. And it's like, well, you know, the world is spinning out of its orbit, but I got to go talk about Squid Game. So it would be, I think planning is my enemy in a weird way. And so I'm going to take everything you've said to heart, appreciate hugely the value that it brings to you, and just assure you that every once in a while, exactly what you described will crop up. Just stick with us. It will crop up. I love you, man. Thank you very, very much. Okay, you mentioned Dr. Zhivago and the great soundtrack. You will learn why in about a couple minutes. he sent me somewhere. I don't know if that was on purpose. 866-660-5759. We're in Dallas. Kim, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Hey.
So, Mark, I agree with you on quite a bit of stuff, mm-hmm. and I just don't agree with you on mass vaccination for everybody.
No, excuse me. What is mass vaccination? What is that?
Well, I mean, I understand that it makes sense for, elderly, those who have immunocompromised.
Why? Why would anyone want to get this? Why does it not make sense for?
Because
it's 63.
Because the majority of people get through it with no big deal.
And some of them die. Very few. Admittedly, very few. But if you can do something that reduces the chances of you getting it, why would you not do that?
Because I had COVID already. It was a breeze. I was over and done with it.
Very good. Very good, I'm not asking about you. I'm saying you're giving these pronouncements that are like for the world. So I'm saying, generally speaking, if someone has not had it, and if you got antibodies, that's great. I think that's as good as maybe even better than the vaccine immunity. But why would you tell somebody not to do it or advise against it if it reduces your chances of getting it?
Nope, I didn't say I would say that. I just don't understand why there's this just huge push, especially for kids. I mean, this is just insane.
Yeah, I think that when you get to the urgency of, vaccinating your 7-year-old, I begin to join you in that regard. But for the grown-ups and et cetera, I'm totally against government mandates and big time in favor of everybody go get it. Why not? So it really is that simple. 8:24, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. This was rocking it at the box office in 1965. prior gentleman mentioning Dr. Zhivago. Book came out in the late 50s. This is Laura's theme. Lara, L-A-R-A. Hello, Lara. Of course, also going by the title Somewhere, My Love. Composed by the wonderful French composer Maurice Jarre. Not Jarre, Jarre. Like I have a simple in a jar. Alrighty, we'll let that lead us up to Nikki Whaley filling in for Gordon. And then to the phones, Lots of things going on. The passing of Colin Powell gives us an opportunity to look at that legacy. Fully vaccinated, got COVID, died anyway. That sets off all kinds of topicality. And supply chain. Karl Rove was on Fox News on Sunday, and Chris Wallace asked him, you know, like, what can Biden do to solve this? And what will he do? What will he not do? That's the more pointed question. What will he not do? 866-660-5759. It's a busy Monday. Glad you're here. Rhonda's birthday, too. So tell her a big happy birthday as you call the show. And you may do so at 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, Nikki Whaley in for Gordon. It is 8:37 on this Monday, 18th day of October, 2021. Glad you are here. 866-660-5759. Colin Powell passing away at 84. His legacy big in the news. It'll be covered all day. Obviously, it's going to be quite the funeral in a couple of days. He was fully vaccinated, got COVID, died from it anyway. So there's 14 talk show topics on top of that. And just more supply chain woes. That was the big story wrapped around a lot of the Sunday segments. I'll play Karl Rove on Fox News here in just a second. We got some calls on that as well. And a lot of the conversation I'm getting about that are people saying, you know, I guess the most familiar question, and actually Martha Raddatz, who is filling in for Stephanopoulos on This Week on ABC, she had an economist and the ABC economics correspondent on and asked a wonderful question, like, shouldn't we have kind of seen this coming? That's a pretty good question. And the economist, a woman named Diane Swonk, had a pretty interesting answer. I'll play that for you, too. But to the phones, 866-660-5759. We are in Benbrook. Hi, Amy. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
Fantastic.
Let me tell you, my husband and I had breakthrough COVID, vaccinated early because our daughter's a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, our doctor told us it's not a matter of if you get it, it's a matter of when.
What?
He said you're going to, you know, break through COVID even though you've been fully vaccinated.
Right.
You still have the opportunity to experience the disease.
Sure, but there's 1,000 miles of difference between saying, I mean, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but or just want to make sure you're characterizing him correctly, between saying that if you are vaccinated, you can still get it, which is absolutely
right.
True. But
yes.
The notion of it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when implies, hey, everybody's going to get it.
Yeah.
And with respect to his medical degree, that's crazy. So did he actually say that, or was it just kind of a more people may get it than think they will get it kind of thing? Because I do know people who've actually told me on the show, it's like, Mark, why even worry? Everybody's going to get it, which is insanity. 45 million people in the country have gotten it. 45 million. Just to finish, 45 million have. And a vast majority of those, of course, are adults. We got about 260 million adults. That means 215 million or so have not gotten it. And the notion that they will seems a little defeatist.
Well, I think the idea is the matter of being very proactive, and that's what he was for us.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so much, it's like he wanted me to get the third shot, and I couldn't get it. It wasn't available.
Mm-hmm.
And then my husband and I chose to be among friends and did a Christian retreat, and next thing we know, there are a bunch of us who came down with it,
mm-hmm.
some vaccinated, some not.
Yep.
But the main thing is I am so thrilled with my physician in that he was very proactive. As soon as I sent a message and told him, hey, we've been exposed, we're probably going to test positive, he jumped on it, got us ivermectin, ordered all kinds of extra things to make sure our breathing was
excellent.
And got us into the monoclonal antibody infusion.
Mm-hmm.
We did that within about 4 days after testing positive.
Mm-hmm.
That was the simplest thing. And within 2 or 3 days, our symptoms were really almost nothing.
You know, it's funny. You know who else did that? Fort Worth Mayor Maddie Parker and, I believe, her husband. She, the vaccinated, got it, breakthrough case, hooked up for the IV there for the monoclonal antibodies. He said, yeah, you should feel kind of a symptoms relief in like 36 hours. She said it was more like 6 hours. There are so many things you can do. And Amy, I'm glad you sound healthy, and that's fantastic, and I'm so glad for you, and thank you, thank you, thank you. I hate that everything has become so binary, that everyone's like, either you do nothing or you've got to do everything. That if there's anything that you don't do, that must mean you have some hesitancy toward this. Or just listen, how about everybody do what you want to do? You know, all I can do is listen. Okay, so I'll use myself as an example. I am a Moderna guy. We are a Moderna family. And let's say I end up being a breakthrough case and I get it anyway. Am I going to start gobbling ivermectin like M&Ms and hooking myself up to monoclonal antibodies? Yes, I am. I will go full Alan West without the vaccine. vaccine hostility. I'm all hands on deck. Everybody do everything. Do what you want to do. And because I will tell you, I mean, there's a lot of differing opinions on some of the treatment stuff. But why not? If there's something that just doesn't seem to be particularly harmful, and that's what kills me from the other side, is that the hostility toward ivermectin, because it's why even is that? Why did CNN lie so viciously about Joe Rogan saying that he was on horse dewormer, which Joe Rogan savaged Dr. Sanjay Gupta for to his face? Not the doctor himself, but your network, the network you worked for, lied through its teeth about me. And Dr. Gupta said, yeah, they shouldn't have done that. Following night, on with Don Lemon, doubles down on the lie. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that ivermectin is some wonder thing. It's going to absolutely work for everybody. Does for some. Some folks have good things to say about it. Doesn't seem to be any negative reason to do it. So if you want to do it, do it. Everybody relax. I know it's hard to say relax in the middle of a still seething global pandemic, but maybe if everybody just gave people a little more latitude, a little more goodwill, you know, we'd all be better off. 866-660-5759. We're in Grand Prairie. Hey, Matt, how are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hi.
So to turn to another, and now for something completely different. On this supply chain issue and the problems that we've had, you've seen the pictures of all the ships lined up outside ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a data point that I have not confirmed, but I'd be interested to know if you've heard any more about it. But apparently, you know, part of the problem is a truck driver shortage.
Yes.
But apparently the state of California has some policies that are specifically affecting access to those ports. And I don't know whether this is true. I'd love to see it confirmed or denied. But one is that apparently they have imposed a rule in the last year or two that says that you can't drive a truck past a certain age. And I think it was 2011 or something like that, model truck, that for emissions reasons, which has cut a huge swath of eligible trucks out of the picture. And apparently also, they have forbidden, like, individual owner-operators from working in some circumstances that require that they be, you know, part of some larger accredited company as well. And both of those appear to have impacted the number of trucks available to get to the port.
While you were talking,
I have now,
because as you were talking, it rang a kind of a bell of familiarity. Trucks with 2010 or newer engines are fully compliant with both the truck and bus regulations, a guide to California's clean air regulations for heavy duty transportation. So one of two things. I don't think it's like impossible to bring a 2009 truck into California, but if I have a feeling there may be a heavy regulatory burden if your company either has them in California or wants to bring them in, delivering something to California or picking something up at the Port of Long Beach and carrying it out. Because obviously, by definition, something coming in California has got to drive through California to get to Texas or to Maine or to Florida or to Nebraska or to anywhere else. So is it plausible that California's environmental extremism is hamstringing the economy in yet another way? That answer is yes. I will do some more. In fact, they retooled some of those limitations as recently as last year, a lot of them involving older diesel engines. So yeah, you are truly onto something. And listen, I understand. This is one of the situations where I understand if you're going to have certain environmental things and certain that's fine. I like a clean planet as well. But there has to be a sort of a rational balance struck between caring for the planet and reasonably rationally allowing businesses to do what they need to do to get stuff onto the shelves.
Indeed. And the other thing also truck related is that apparently this is not just an American problem, but apparently has been a huge problem for the UK to the point that I think they're actually using the military to help support the civil logistics chain right now.
Yep, absolutely. And listen, Matt, let me thank you doubly because I just found another article, too, that I'll share. As of 2023, all commercial trucks must meet the new emission standards. So as of January of last year, it applied to vehicle models 04 and older. January of this year, it applied to vehicle models 05 to 07. And then at January 1st of 2023, vehicle model years 08 to 10. So just good luck with a truck older than 08 come January of 2023 in the formerly golden state of California. All right, 848. Having pivoted back to this, here was Karl Rove on Fox News yesterday. And Chris Wallace asked him, okay, everybody's talking supply chain, empty shelves, Joe, is a thriving hashtag. How much of this really is his fault? What could he do in order to make things better? And Carl grabbed, as he does, the whiteboard.
Well, the political implications are big, as Kristen said. If you'll take a look at the Real Clear Politics average, the president's approval on the economy is 44.3 to 50.5. And it's getting worse. In September, it was 46-48. And in the polls conducted thus far in October, it's 41-52. There are things that can be done, but why wasn't the administration doing it months ago? They're going to probably start doing the things that they can do now, either jawboning or making some changes in regulation or providing some specialized assistance to the ports and to the logistics chain.
And all of which is great. All of which is great. I don't care who's president. I mean, I care who's president, you know, but no, even when there's a president I didn't vote for, if there's something that a Democrat White House does that's good, I will say so. Even if it's, I don't want to say too little too late, that seems, speaking of being defeatist, if it is something that I would want done by a president I did vote for, that's fine. I mean, just good things are good things, bad things are bad things. We're going to get far more bad things from this White House, but because it's just not in their DNA. To have the overall broad pro-business, low regulation, low taxes kind of profile that a conservative presidency is going to have. And all of these things that are aimed at the actual supply chain, aimed at, you know, actual, you know, ports like Long Beach and the trucking situation, bringing stuff out of California eastward to the other states, that's all very, very important. But meanwhile, the thing that is going to be wrapped around all of us are the things that inflation is going to increase the cost of. And that's going to be energy. That's going to be gasoline. That's going to be heating oil in the Northeast and everywhere else. And interestingly, and talk about the basics, food and clothing. I mean, could there be any broader inflationary spike than make the complete trifecta? Food, clothing, gas. I mean, when you sit down and make your weekly or monthly budget, which everyone should do, like those are the headings at the top of the legal pad. Food, clothing, fuel. I mean,
what else is there in terms of, I mean, obviously the roof above your head, but then food, clothing, fuel. These are the things that inflation is going to be nudging upward as the rest of this year rolls out.
But why didn't they begin it months ago? Because this has been an issue that has been growing and growing and on the public's mind. And as a result, I think it's one of the reasons why the president's approval among independents has dropped and dropped pretty dramatically. When you go to the grocery store, like I went to eat yesterday, and it cost you nearly $9 to buy the bacon that cost you less than $4 not too many months ago, Americans are going to feel this and they're going to turn around and blame somebody, and he's in charge.
There you go. The bacon index. Everything revolves around bacon. Bacon. 852, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. To take us out of this hour, everybody always asks me who this is when I play them. It's the four British ladies who did a string quartet called Escala, E-S-C-A-L-A. They did a sweet little cover of Kashmir and invited Slash. I bet that was a fun day in the studio. All right, 858-866-660-5759. Let's cruise into the 9 o'clock hour, see what else is cooking. There's stuff I haven't even brought up yet. Bet that's the same case with you as well. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Happy Monday.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.